Do you guys have any musical recommendations for the music for this?
Oh, you know, actually, I do remember something about Barracuda, and that it was like my least favorite music choice. But no, but it's only because of how much Barracuda is is used. I'm just like tired of seeing it.
Warning, the following podcast contains full spoilers for the 2020 film Birds of Prey, as well as minor spoilers for other DC films, comic books, and television shows.
I buy my own things, I pay my own bills, these diamond rings, these automobiles, everything I got, I bought it, boys can't buy me. I want, say what you say, work real hard every day. I'm a motherfucking woman, baby, all right. I don't need a man to be holding me too tight. I'm a motherfucking woman, all right. I'm just having fun with my ladies here tonight. I'm a motherfucker.
Hello and welcome to Vassals of Kingsgrave. In today's episode, we are going to be discussing Birds of Prey, colon, and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, written by Christina Hodson, directed by Kathy Yan, and starring Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn with a larger cast, which we will discuss in detail later. Today, I'm joined by...
Hi, I'm Sarah, also known as Lady Weaver on the forums.
Blue Arm on the forums.
My name is Thomas. I am FT Ward on the podcast of Ice and Fire Forums. I thought we would start by just giving our... Again, I have either Sal's Egg Sandwiches or number 32's at Doc's Restaurant as a potential lemon cake equivalent, if you guys have something else.
Awesome Fashions.
Awesome Fashions.
Yes.
That might
stuffed
be more
beavers.
Ooh, stuffed beavers is good.
So if you want to give it your stuffed beaver rating and a short summary of your feelings, and then we'll discuss the movie, kind of the plot and the movie in some greater detail. Sarah, do you want to start us off?
Okay. So on the day I saw it, I was having a very low energy day and didn't feel like doing anything or leaving the house. But I was just like, no, I need to see it. So I went and saw it. That's coloring my opinion of the film. But I'd give it like a 3.5. Mind you, I saw it on my own in a very quiet theater. But I think if I had have gotten like a group of the girls together and we had have gone to see it in a more rowdy theater, I think it would have been far more fun, if that makes sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So I'd give it like 3.5 at the moment. It's not a bad movie. It's not a super amazing movie, but it's an enjoyable movie.
This is a easy 4.5 for me. I really enjoyed this movie, and it's, you know, it's up there as my one of my favorite. You know, this and Wonder Woman are my two favorite kind of DC movies so far. So, yeah, I pretty much enjoyed everything about this movie.
Yeah, I've seen it twice now. I guess I would give it 4.25 stuffed beavers out of 5. I think the action is pretty much top 2 or 3 action in a superhero movie that I've ever seen. I think Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn is great. I think some of the other characters are a little underdeveloped. I think the story itself is just kind of one MacGuffin, but other than that, it's super fun. Like I said, the action is pretty much nonstop and is better than the action in pretty much any other superhero movie I can think of, other than maybe a Deadpool, but and that's maybe a movie which we'll compare this to a little bit.
I'm sorry, Winter Soldier's action scenes are great.
Winter Soldier up there too. I think the second unit director, stunt coordinator, I think on this movie and is the director of the John Wick director. He was
The person who came in and did film some more action scenes for this one. Yeah. Tad Stahelski.
That sounds right. And did he do Winter Soldier as well?
I don't think so. Chad Stahelski is the director, and he was Keanu Reeves' stunt double in the Matrix series.
Oh, really? That's how they knew each other.
Yes.
I thought when I looked up, I did see he did work on Winter Soldier as well, but maybe I'm...
Possibly, but if he did Winter Soldier, it would have been before he started his directing things, and with his directing, he's gotten a lot more recognition, so now people are just like, oh, Chad Stahelski, rather than being like, oh, that amazing stunt coordinator from...
Civil War, is what I was thinking of. He was assistant director on, so you're correct.
Yeah, this is certainly, like, probably, some of the best in terms of just, like, straightforward, hand-to-hand stuff.
Yeah, there's less gunplay than like a John Wick movie, obviously.
Yeah, and there's not, there's not really superpowers either. It's kind of the normal stuff you would see on, like, an Arrow thing rather than full, the superhero stuff we get in Civil War or Endgame or something. And it's all very good, and that's probably one of my favorite. Each one kind of has a different feel to it. They do a good job in varying it up so that, you're not just, each one feels new and refreshing, and you don't get like fatigue of the action scenes throughout, which is good because there are a lot of them.
Yep. And they change what weapons they're using as well. So it's good.
And it really got the gymnast aspect of Harley Quinn down. Really brought
especially
that before.
In the earlier scenes when she's evading everyone right after she does her declaration of being single. The scene where she pulls herself up the bars and into someone else's apartment. It's great.
Yeah, the backflip up the car is probably the most impressive of that matter. And in particular, choosing to shoot the climax in at Carnival Row. Carnival Row at the end was moi.
That booby trap was great. That's kind of felt like that was almost out of like a Tim Burton Batman movie, kind of that exterior at least. And the little funhouse fight where you really get to see each of the women, their own fighting style and kind of playing off each other and kind of that was great. A great kind of third act, which is pretty much all action.
Right, yeah. In comparison to, Wonder Woman, which is, the weakness of that film, is the third act, where this one, it's probably the strongest part of the film.
I tend to agree. So the basic plot of the movie, I guess we should maybe just put out there, is the Joker and Harley Quinn have broken up. I think it feels like the Joker has broken up with Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn goes on kind of a bender afterwards, where she is drunk and in a nightclub, and we kind of are, from her point of view, I think the very beginning of the film, so the first act or so is kind of disjointed because we're kind of seeing it through Harley's kind of disjointed brain, but she ends up involved with Roman Sionis, who is Black Mask, and he is trying to acquire the MacGuffin of the film, is the Bertinelli Diamond, which has been pickpocketed from his goon, Victor Zsasz, by Cassandra Cain here. And then it's all of the, kind of, again, similar to me, like a John Wick movie, all of the villains in the town are kind of chasing Cassandra Cain, and then our heroes, I guess they're heroes, it's debatable whether Harley's a hero or not, but our heroes then kind of each individually are trying to protect her until the final act where they kind of all come together, kind of team up. So what did you think of our villains? Roman Sionis, Black Mask, played by Ewan McGregor, and Chris Messina plays Victor Zsasz. There are our two main villains, then we get a bunch of kind of themed, a little bit, henchmen, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah. Ewan McGregor. And I loved his suits. Yeah. So I'm extra down.
Yeah, I thought he was a ton of fun.
So much fun.
Yeah, I mean, he's great in everything he does. And so that was, you know, I expected great things from him, and that's what I got. I think he really delivered, and, you know, knows how to like chew the scenery in a way that's not like too much and too overbearing. And I like Chris Messina in general. He brings a pretty good, you know, psychotic vibe to Zsasz. It's a little bit color just because Anthony Corrigan, who plays Zsasz in the TV show Gotham, was a particular standout of that show. And he's not as kind of, psychotic and just like horrible as this version is.
Yeah, that's a more fun, more campy almost version. And this is,
yeah,
this has an interest. It's kind of, he's kind of underdeveloped in my opinion, but he's got a kind of an interesting relationship with Ewan McGregor's character, where he seems like he kind of like cares for him. And I don't know if they ever kind of explicitly say they're in a relationship or anything, but it feels like Zsasz certainly wants to be in a relationship with Ewan McGregor's character.
Yeah. I have not read the comics, but I have heard that in the comics, Black Mask and Victor Zsasz are in a relationship. But in this one, I'm not sure if I'd be like, oh, they're super in a relationship. But it's more like they definitely care about each other, whether they're super close friends or something else. Because it's more like Victor Zsasz would take Black Mask aside and be like, hey, man, it's cool. We got this. We can do this. We're good. Calm down. We got this.
Like, always rub his shoulders and try and get him, like, touch him and get him to kind of relax and see this as kind of an opportunity, as whereas, like, Black Mask seems like he's about to go off at various times. Yeah. They have an interesting relationship, for sure. Like I said, they're a little 2D, but I kind of like both of the performances and like both of the actors quite a bit.
Yeah, they were good. And I really liked what they were doing. Like, it's just like, you're great together. So good.
Yeah, it's unclear to me if, like, is Roman's father dead here? I can't quite... Mm-hmm. I think in the comics his father's dead when he becomes Black Mask, but here it's not clear to me that...
I don't think they say whether or not his family's dead. It says that he's been, like, cut off from the family's money.
Yeah.
So whether it's more like everyone's still around but very separate, but people still know who his family is, so he still has influence either way through his family.
He's a little bit protected from police interference and stuff by his family connections, even if he is on his own at this point in the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the driving force of his character, and is to show that he can do it on his own, apart from his family. I mean, that's a theme, main theme of the movie for all the characters.
Yeah, I like how Margot Robbie will just break down like in a second and just like psychoanalyze a character and like see that she does have that kind of that skill set still in her brain, even if she doesn't utilizing it all the time. She's very, you know, intelligent and very quick at understanding people's motivations and what drive them or, you know, what levers she can use against them.
Yeah, that's. I mean, this is her, you know, this is her movie. It was the point of doing this movie from the start is to focus on her character, and you know, and they delivered with kind of bringing in all of her aspects and making her the strong three-dimensional character that people like from the comics.
I agree. I think they do a great job with her, and she does a great job with the character. Okay, so do you want to talk about the Birds of Prey, or did you want to talk about... So we have Rosie Perez as Renee Montoya, Mary Elizabeth Winstead as the crossbow killer / Helena Bertinelli / the Huntress, and Journey Smollett-Bell as Black Canary / Diana Lance, and finally, is it Ella J. Basco as Cassandra Cain?
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
So for you guys, was any of those characters more of a standout than the others? Did you find any of them weak, didn't care for their characters? Or how did you feel about the...
Mary Elizabeth Winstead. I'm just a fan of hers, yeah, in general. I mean, she's a standout for me.
I agree. You know, 10 out of 5 for me. She's just steals every scene she's in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's only compounded by the fact that, you know, it's part of it's certainly like biased, you know, I'm just biased to her in general, but you know, I just loved everything that she did with the character. I mean, I think they're all good. You know, I don't know. I'm not as much of I don't have many where, you know, there are certainly a lot of characters, so you know, I understand arguments of some of the characters being underdeveloped. You know, Zaz is certainly one of those where, you know, he just gets less screen time as because it's necessitated that way of the story.
Yeah, I thought even his death was kind of underplayed at that moment. Like,
right.
I'm like, is he really dead or is he going to pop up at any second? Or I mean, it just seemed like it should have been a bigger payoff there even for his death.
Right, yeah, I mean, in this case, right, the payoff was more for the Huntress's character as he was one of the people that killed her family. I mean, yeah, I would say the only one that, where I just didn't quite get a sense of her character, and it's also because she's the one I'm least familiar with in the comics, and that's Cassandra Cain.
Well, she has nothing to do, or it seemingly has nothing to do with her character from the comics here.
Oh, okay, interesting. So yeah, I mean, she's the one that I feel like I get the least sense of, but she's also, you know, the youngest and the least, you know, kind of set in her, you know, her personality. Like, you know, she's still got a lot of growing up to do. So that makes sense in terms of that. But yeah, I'd say, you know, Huntress and Black Canary were probably my two favorites.
I think Black Canary was my favorite, but with Cassandra Cain, it might also be she's like the audience stand-in a bit. So I think her characterization was pretty blank or like less of a statement than the other characters, just so we could attach to her more and sort of be, I think, ushered into the world a little bit.
Yeah, I guess I agree. I wish... They didn't call her Cassandra Cain because I'm partial to that character. And like I said, her character in the movie does not seem to have anything to do with her character in the comics. So I kind of bummed that they used that character here for, not that I disliked the Ella J. Basco or anything, but it just seemed like a waste of Cassandra Cain. I would say with Renee Montoya and Rosie Perez, she's kind of just a trope character, but they acknowledge that within the film that she's just like spouting like 80s cop movie lines and stuff. So it's kind of like an in joke within the film itself. So I was okay with that.
Yeah, I kind of loved it because it was so cheesy, and I was just like, yeah, okay, I'm down. I'm down.
Yeah.
It's like the cop archetype, and I'm just like, yep, I'm here for it. Go. Go.
Yeah, I agree.
It's the same for me, too, where she's the least interesting on paper, but it's just like the you know, and she's kind of there by necessity of just, you know, kind of needing to have a cop involved in this storyline, but just like the choices they made just made it very entertaining, and so, you know, I'm cool with it.
Do we want to talk about any of the controversies surrounding it, starting maybe with the title? Title change, quote-unquote. Sarah, would you like to talk about that for a bit?
Yes. A week after the release date, they did a title change. So originally it was Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. Okay, so on the things that I have heard from different sources, because I like watching box office news, they have said that the title is still that officially. However, on ticketing sites, it has now been changed to Harley Quinn : Birds of Prey. And that seems to be correct because it's still Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation on Rotten Tomatoes, Metacritic, and IMDb. So it does seem to be that they purely changed it for the ticketing sites. And that was more because they want people to recognize it as a Harley Quinn movie and then have realized, oh shit, they might not actually realize it's a Harley Quinn movie, even though she's front and center on all of our posters and media for it. But this way it's, quote, easier to find.
Yeah, I assume they must have some data, right, that like people put in like Harley Quinn into Fandango or whatever, and this movie didn't come up. I assume the movie has,
especially seeing as it's like the last two words in the very long title.
Yeah. So I'm sure they have a reason for that change, and it's unfortunate if that's one of the factors in the movie underperforming at the theaters, that they didn't anticipate that ahead of time. I don't know what else to say. I kind of loved it, close to love this movie, and I'm slightly bummed that less people are seeing it, but it's got another long weekend, at least here in the United States, a holiday weekend, so I'm hopeful that it doesn't have a huge drop-off and does well the second weekend, and if that, you know, that slight change of title within the and ticketing helps, yeah, then I think it's only a good thing.
And as well, it has Valentine's Day, like, movie bump, too, possibly, especially if you have groups of, like, singles getting together and going and seeing a movie. I think this one's probably a good choice for this weekend if you don't want to see an Oscar movie or Fantastic Island or Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater today for the second time, and it wasn't particularly crowded in the theater I was at, but, you know, I can't believe people want to see Sonic or Fantasy Island. But
I've heard it's pretty good.
Like, Sonic?
Yeah, no, like, I've seen two reviews and they were both just like, you know what, it works. It's good. It's enjoyable. I don't get it, but it is. So, like, apparently with the video game movie Cursed, just go for animated movies and it works now. Who knew?
Yeah, no, I've also heard it. It's just surprisingly, you know, good. But that's because, you know, expectations are probably like nil. But I doubt it's better than Harley Quinn. All right, there's several like complicated things about this issue, and you know, after, because yeah, I, you know, saw it opening weekend. My theater wasn't particularly crowded. That stuff doesn't bother me. I like having mostly empty theaters. Less likely people are gonna bother me while watching it. But you know, so I had a feeling that this movie might underperform, and so, you know, I you know, specifically kind of like sought out, you know, did some research on what, you know, what the box office was, what happened, whatever. There's also a particular podcast I listen to that does reviews of sequels and adaptations and of movies, and it's done by two guys who work in marketing over in LA, and so they did a good job breaking it down, where overall, this movie was marketed, like, the issue is that this movie was marketed terribly. Mm. And just because mainly because the people, the executives at DC don't really know what they're doing, and they don't know exactly, you know, what they had in this film. The embargo for reviews of this was only lifted one day before the movie came out, which when that happens, it usually means that the movie sucks. But it's just basically that.
Studio knows.
Yeah, but it's just basically that the people, you know, in charge of marketing this movie, like, didn't realize, like, how good it was. And so, I don't know. It's one of those things where, you know, I prefer the original title as it is. I prefer the fact that the movie's rated R. I mean, those are just general preferences I have for movies in general, where I'm always gonna, you know, prefer things to be rated R, than not, just so. And it's mainly just for using curse words in dialogue, because, you know, when you see a PG-13 film and, you know, you get to a scene where, you know, where you just kind of expect in a natural course of things, curse words would come out and then they don't, it just feels weird and it takes you out of it, at least for me. In reality, this movie, you know, only needed the R rating in a very few spots, but it helped to fit in and gives you kind of the flexibility when writing the script. And, you know, that's the strength of this movie, you know, comes down to kind of the behind the scenes stuff with having a great script and a really creative director and production design and all that stuff that really kind of bring this movie together. But that being said, you know, I still want to be able to see more of these characters down the line. So if you know, the choices are between, you know, not having a sequel or, you know, changing up the title and making a sequel PG-13, then, you know, I'll live with that. And because as we saw with Suicide Squad, you know, a lot of fans of Harley Quinn, you know, are going to be in the 12 to 18 young girl range. And so they certainly left money on the table when it came, you know, by making this movie rated R, whereas, you know, they left some fans that might not have been able to see the film.
In Australia, so we have a different rating system. So we also have MA, which is children with 14 to 15 parental guidance is recommended, and under 14 it's not recommended, and MA-15. So Suicide Squad, which is PG-13 in America, is still M-rated here, and Birds of Prey is MA-15 here, so it's not much of a difference in our market at all, rating-wise, but I understand it's a huge difference in America, because you're cutting out that whole, like, teenage age range, whereas with us, it's more like you can still go see it very easily, and, like, people would take kids to see it, or if they're 15, we've just finished school holidays, though, so, unfortunately, they missed out on the school holiday market here, but it's less of an issue here with the age rating, the classification rating for us.
Yeah, I think a Suicide Squad, which I have certain affinity for, but is a pretty horrible movie, the marketing for that was amazingly good and got people into theaters. And the marketing for this was so poor. I don't know who controls that and who's to blame. But, like, the first trailer for this movie, I thought, and I ended up really liking this movie, I thought the first trailer was pretty horrible, and I got no good feelings about it. The second trailer,
it was not good.
Was much better. How they released it, like the critics' release of, you know, just the day before, and how I think even buying tickets, pre-sale tickets, was very late. I don't know what was going on with the marketing for this movie. And like I said, I don't think anyone seeing a commercial would realize how good the action in this movie is, or even have a clue about that. I feel the same way as Matt about the R rating. I you know, I don't know if it's because they kill people or if they, like, break legs or something, but
I saw like a tooth flying, so I think it's that.
Yeah, so it's pretty. I mean, the difference between an R and a PG-13 is pretty minor, I would say, here. I like it as an R, but as Matt said, there are no doubt Harley Quinn fans that couldn't see this movie, and that's kind of a shame. I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is on that, but it bums me out that this movie's not doing as well as I think it should.
As well, I think this movie as well, Harley Quinn, is very much targeted towards younger viewers, and the ad campaign as well wasn't targeting your typical R-rated moviegoers. It was targeting still a younger crowd, I think, being so bright and so colorful and so fun with less of the grittiness that we sort of normally see with an R-rated movie. And there isn't much of a hard line at all. I think the difference between this one and a normal PG-13 for you guys is very minimal.
Yeah. I almost wish they had done more with the R rating if they're gonna lose that box office, then just go all out and really get a hard R, because this seemed like a really soft R to me, but I enjoyed the movie.
If I hadn't have heard it was an R rating in America, I wouldn't have known, because... Yeah.
I actually did not know. I spent like kind of the first part of the movie, like when the first fuck came out, I was like, oh, is this actually rated R? That's awesome. You know, I had to wait for the second one to come before it was confirmed that it was an R rating. But yeah, that's one of those things where like I didn't realize it until midway through, and I was just kind of like, all right, sweet, because you know that's what I prefer. But yeah, no, and Sarah makes a very good point that I forgot to mention on that marketing thing where when the kind of the key to these successful R-rated comic book movies that we've seen is that the marketing really leans into that aspect of it, and that's how they've been able to draw people to see it, in terms of the Deadpool and Joker, which really kind of embraced that identity, whereas this, and I know part of it, I think, is because Margot Robbie, fought for it to be rated R, but it's not in the style and the tone of the film is not in line with those, gritty, hard R DC films,
Yeah. I mean, even like a Logan where you see people get like chopped in half and stuff, I mean, you get Sionis, I guess, at the end, gets blown up or something, but that's almost a comic moment, almost.
I don't think that part was overly graphic, because it's not like, bit of human flesh flying towards the camera, okay. It wasn't that so much, it was more like, oh yeah, cool, whatever. Hunks of meat, we're cool. I don't think it needed your R rating, because it seems to really have undercut it at the box office.
My only comment is, it hasn't like failed in general. The international box office, is saving it. And so the critics have been good to it, and it's got good word of mouth. So like,
didn't it make like 80 million worldwide in the first week?
Yeah.
Or first weekend.
Yeah. I don't even know what China, with their issues, how much of a China box office it's
getting. There isn't one at the moment. No. I believe China still has shut down all of their cinemas.
Yeah.
So nothing's airing in China at the moment.
So
which is sad, because China might really like it, because it has all the colors and the pretty costumes, and like, that's universal.
Yeah, I'm sure Disney will have that for Mulan. I'm sure they'll get that all fixed over there.
But Mulan's released in a month, and everyone's still in the midst of the coronavirus outbreak. I'd be worried if I was Disney. I'd be like, shit.
Well, I mean, Mulan will make enough money, here by itself to do that, and then you can just release it in China later. But yeah, I mean, you see it right. The whole point of this is, I think there's enough here to justify, warranting a sequel if they're not complete idiots about it, but with DC, you never know. Like, that is a legitimate possibility. The key is you just don't want them to be so dumb and just learn.
Yeah.
You can just see the wrong lessons being learned from this of, no R rating stuff, no female led stuff. And it's just it's just such an obvious pitfall that, like, it's so sad that, like, it wouldn't shock us to see them just, jump headfirst into that pitfall, even though it's so obviously, like, stupid.
I've already seen videos up being like, oh, it's because it's a female-led action movie. It's so bad.
And I'd like to talk about
that. One was saying, like, please don't label them all that way. And this year has a lot of female-led action movies, so I'm really hoping that some of them do really, really well, so we still get some.
Yeah.
Please do
well. I don't know. Like, I put in the notes, like, get woke, go broke, which is something I've seen on Twitter. And like, I know there are haters for this movie, and, like, it's women. I don't understand the haters, but there is that aspect which I just don't get. It's not really, I mean, she's kind of finding herself as an independent woman in a certain way, but it's not really any kind of man-hating negative message whatsoever in the movie, and it's badass action and funny, and it's kind of, like I said, I'm just bummed that the movie's not doing better. I think Shazam is getting a sequel. I don't know if that's purely because The Rock is involved there. That's a possibility that they feel that there's
Black Adam was already contracted ages ago, so I think it's more like, well, we got to, otherwise we still need to pay The Rock a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
So might as well make a movie.
So,
and Shazam was really good and got really good critic rating, and no one went to see it. Mind you, I was one of them because I was busy with a whole heap of assignments at the time, so I couldn't go.
Yeah, I hope
actually
this movie finds streaming and HBO and stuff. I hope this finds an audience that I don't think it's finding right now. Go ahead, Sarah. I'm sorry.
Okay. So, actually, I saw a thingy, and it was analyzing the critic ratings compared to box office returns of DC films. Thank you, Dan Merle, former Screen Junkies, changed the channel name, whatever. With it,
so, Entertainment.
Yes, thank you for knowing, because I forgot. Right.
it's one of the videos I was referencing earlier, and doing my research.
Okay, so with it, it actually had that. The DC movie with the most amount of people who went and saw it was actually Batman v Superman, but it has had the lowest critical rating, whereas, like, Shazam and Harley Quinn have both had far better Rotten Tomatoes scores critical rating, but the box office has been a lot lower. So I think DC's suffering from what X-Men has as well, or did have, whereas I think they've completely lost audience trust now. So even though their films are a lot better made and aren't shit shows, people aren't seeing them because they still associate it with Batman v Superman and the complete and utter shit show that was and how bad it was. Same with Suicide Squad. I think they still have that stink to it, unfortunately, even though their films are so much better now. Because Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Shazam, and Harley Quinn are not bad movies at all. They're quite good movies, especially Wonder Woman. It's great. And Shazam, super fun.
Yeah, this movie is clearly better than Aquaman, and I kind of like Aquaman, but this movie is, I don't know why that movie's, I mean, I guess it's a summer release.
Summer release, it stayed around for ages.
Sci-fi. And I don't like Aquaman. I think
it was like a really big spectacle as well, being like so much CG underwater, and was just like, oh wow, it's so cool looking. It's the Avatar effect. But Cats doesn't have it. And also it had the China box office, which I think it did quite well in as well.
It did very well internationally, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the point where all DC movies have just, it's just a straight downward trend where each successive DC movie has just like gone down in box office, no matter, you know, how well it was received or how good it is.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what Wonder Woman 1984, how that does.
I'm seeing it. I plan to buy my tickets as early as possible.
Me as well. Yeah, I like Batman vs. Superman a lot.
I did not.
So I probably love Batman vs. Superman, even though it's completely fucked up and weird. But and even, you know, Suicide Squad, which I fully admit is horrible, I have a very special place in my heart for.
Is it because it's so cheesy, or just like, yeah, I'm kind of down for it, and super stylized, so you're just like, yep, okay, I'm here for it. We're cool.
I just love those characters. You know, I love seeing that shot on the big screen and being taken seriously. I loved that scene in the bar with Harley Quinn and all of them. There are parts of that film I love, but the villain is horrible. We're not going to relitigate Suicide Squad here.
Yeah.
But I have affection for DC in general, so I'm biased. I fully admit that.
Like, DC was my childhood far more than Marvel was. Because, like, I watched all the Batman movies as a wee one, I remembered a specific scene from the Batman and Robin George Clooney movie, and I was just like, what movie is this? I want to watch it again. At, like, 14, I went and found it, and I think the last time I had seen it, I was under 5. Like, I remember that stuff, bro. Batman's my childhood. So, of course, I'm going to go out and see him in whatever movie he's in. DC has my nostalgia vote. Hands down. Hands down.
I'm the same, but my nostalgia is quite far back to, like, Super Friends TV cartoon on Saturday mornings. But
DC's been around for ages in, like, pop culture media, like the 60s Adam West Batman show, the Batman movies, the Superman movies from the 70s. There was the Wonder Woman TV show, I think it was. Like, they've consistently been in the pop culture zeitgeist far more than Marvel has, but now Marvel's been having the really big blockbuster movies that have such massive fan following now and have been so popular. Marvel's, I think, has far more of a free pass now than DC does if they make a bad movie.
Cool. We've kind of hit, I guess, animated. I don't think anyone else has seen it besides me, the Harley Quinn DC Universe. What is the name of their streaming service? DC Universe show?
Yeah. Oh, no. I've watched all of it.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, no,
I haven't seen it, but you guys go talk about it because I'm interested to see what people think.
I wanted to take a moment at this podcast to just gush about the animated TV show. It's incredible. It is with kind of the hole that The Good Place is leaving, you know, in terms of my favorite TV comedy. It is instantly my new favorite TV comedy. Everything about it is just great, where they get, you know, the character is wonderful. Both her and Ivy, as well as the supporting cast, and it's funny, and it's a, you know, a good story as well. You know, it's along similar lines of.
It's R-rated as well, yeah.
Yep, and it probably makes better use of of being, you know, mature rating R-rating than this movie does.
Yeah.
But yeah, I cannot praise it highly enough, where everyone should go out and watch it. I bought the subscription for DC, purely to watch this.
And check out some other stuff on there too. Is Good Titans and Doom Patrol are both pretty good in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I've seen parts of Titans already. I'll get around to the other stuff. But yeah, if there's one thing people take away from this podcast, it's go watch the Harley Quinn animated series.
Yeah, it's the best Commissioner Gordon you've ever seen.
Christopher Maloney, man.
Yeah, my only complaint is I love Alan Tudyk, but I don't like that he does Clayface and Joker. It for some reason, it takes me out of it that he's doing two major characters. But all the voices are really good, and it's hilarious and heartfelt. It's really a wonderful show. I think, are we like one episode left, I'm guessing?
Yes, there's one. That's actually, yeah, that's the only disappointing part is now, you know, I caught up around like episode 9 and I have to like wait a week. And like, and all these, you know, final episodes are all, you know, are really much more like strung together and much less individual episodes than like the earlier parts of the season. Yeah. And yeah, there's a particular cliffhanger in, you know, in episode 12 that I was not pleased about having to wait a week to.
Feel like it's not a cliffhanger. I mean, I know it's a cliffhanger, but there's way that that character is not.
I understand. I understand. But yeah, it was still frustrating at the time. But no, it doesn't matter. Like they have, you know, it's they really put a lot into this animated series and it shows. And yeah, it's the main thing of, you know, getting that. The really strong voice talent, and yeah, and obviously just the writing.
Bane is so funny.
I fucking love Bane. Caffeine is my reckoning. Like he is so good.
Yeah. So I'm not going to tell people to go out and get DCU because I don't know if it's financially worth it for everyone, but this show is definitely 5 stars in my opinion. So.
But, well, I mean, after next, you know, after it, they air the last episode next week, you can go out and get a week free and watch it all.
Okay. But, yeah.
So, and not have to pay anything for it. But yeah, no, it is well worth it. I did want to mention one more thing, about the movie.
Sure.
Where it's a personal thing for me in terms of its style of storytelling. And I just wanted to highlight it because it's one of the things I look for and very often and very rarely get. And that's the fact that like the movie just kind of, drops you into this world, that already has like a pre-existing kind of backstory to it. And it kind of like slowly reveals, you know, you just kind of like slowly like learn, you know, small little things and more about it as you go rather than, you know, having to, you know, hold us by the hand and dragging us step by step through, you know, some like origin story. Like this is kind of like the expedited like origin story stuff that I like where it just kind of drop, you know, it doesn't drop you right at the beginning. It drops you, you know, several parts in and then just, you know, subtly like adds bits and pieces here and there, allowing you to catch up in a much more like organic and efficient fashion. That I really like. And so, you know, and that might, I think that kind of tends to, it can tend to lead to, you know, where some people criticize it where they don't, you know, you don't perhaps get enough, with some of these characters, because it's just kind of, they each have their like small moments that really do a lot to show, you know, who their characters are. But for me, it works really well in its kind of, you know, what I look for in the terms of, you know, the show don't tell storytelling and just kind of allowing us to, you know, use our brains and figure things out and really, with, you know, clever and just, efficient and well-placed writing. I wanted to praise that aspect of the movie.
Yeah. We do see a couple brief, flashbacks to Suicide Squad, right? Where we even get the back of Jared Leto's head that maybe, possibly the last time we'll ever see him as Joker. I'm not sure, but there's one brief shot of the back of his head. And then there's a second shot where you again see the back of the Joker's head when they're tattooing that one guy. But I don't think that's really Jared Leto, but I could be wrong.
Stand in.
Yeah.
But it's okay. Yeah. Jared Leto's fine. He's Morbius now.
I thought he was. I thought it was an interesting take on it, kind of. And I'm not talking about Suicide Squad anymore. Okay, bye.
We can talk about.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's something, but like along with that, I really there are a couple like, you know, conversations early on in the film where I just liked that kind of how like there was already a pre like developed reputation for Harley, and that, you know, it comes across in her early interactions with both. Psionis and as well as the Black Canary too, in particular, like when Harley like tells Black Canary that she and the Joker broke up, like there's a very strong reaction from Black Canary, like, oh shit. I thought that was really cool, as you know, where, you know, she had like a pre-existing knowledge of Harley and understands who she is and how big of a deal and what kind of ramifications that means for Harley when people find out that she's broken up from the Joker. So I really like that aspect of it.
Yeah, and I found it funny that Black Canary was just like, mate, keep that quiet.
Yeah, and Harley's just tell. Like,
public declaration, is it? And everyone else is just like, she's a fucking idiot.
Well, yeah, even that one guy at the bar overhears them talking, and he's immediately like trying to kidnap her because he knows that she's going to be a wanted woman at that time. So,
he's just like, "Your protection now, mate."
And then at the end, we get her line where, like, which I thought was great, where she's like, "People are afraid of the Black Mask, and people are afraid of the Joker, but it's me that they should be afraid of because." You know, she's finally kind of come into her own through the whole, you know, relationship with the other characters and kind of realized a little bit who she is and who she needs to be going forward.
And that she can be her own boss lady.
Yeah. She actually gets her own printed business cards instead of stealing someone else's and just putting pink glitter on them and stuff.
Yes. But it's good and it's more like, yay! I'm happy because it's shown her go from very much being like, oh, Mr. J.
Yeah.
Like, I'm your sidekick and everything and romantic partner, but has less agency, really. Whereas now she gets to be her own individual and do things she really wants to without having to consider how Mr. J will feel about it. So I'm just like, yay, you go for it. What up? Yeah.
Yeah, I think the one thing with the animated series where it's, she's kind of freeing herself, but there she's kind of like trying to make a direct statement to him. And I think they'll end up in the same place, but because Joker's a character in there, that it's kind of a different dynamic. Okay. Anyone want to talk about the Batman reveal or anything? They have any strong feelings about that since we're...
I'm getting excited.
I haven't looked at anything. I just saw a still photo.
Yeah.
That's all there is.
Rob Pattinson's face in it. Okay, cool.
I like his face.
I saw the photo and I'm just like, man, does he have a strong jawline? It's really weird. It's really popping out. And I'm just like, okay.
I don't the emblem, I guess. But and I, if it's what I think it is, I will strongly dislike that. But I like his mask.
Yeah, that's all speculative. Like that's someone like making a real giant leap in logic of the emblem, and that you know, there's probably only less than a 50% chance that that's actually the case. That's entirely speculation.
Yeah.
Anyway, but either way, it doesn't bother me that much. The cast is so good.
I'm just excited. Yeah,
I've been excited about this cast from the start. So I just I just hope that the action kind of is up to the challenge.
Yeah, the Planet of the Apes movies. That's where he comes from, right? It seems like the action is good in those. I mean, it's obviously different, but.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like the main part I like of Batman vs. Superman is it has the best Batman action sequence, ever done. And so I just think that we're at the point, that movie showed that we have the capability to essentially do that now in terms of stunt work and choreography. So that's kind of what I really, really am like looking forward to this. I just feel like this film finally has the ability to do Batman action sequences really, really well. And so that's kind of what I'm looking forward to most. And my enjoyment of the film will ride on whether or not, it delivers my hopes for it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the story, I guess, most of all. If they get the action great, then that's going to be just icing on the cake for me. But, yeah, I'm getting psyched for more. Maybe at Comic-Con or wherever we see some more. Okay, anyone have anything else to say on what they've got going for VOK in the future? Birds of Prey, DC, anything else?
And with an E. I'm editing very slowly.
I did not mean to call you out on what you're editing slowly. That was not my intent.
No, it's more like, it'll be out eventually. So, like, heads up, season 2 and season 3 review. Please don't pressure me on when to get it out. Please. Okay, thank you.
Obviously, I don't have any really Vox stuff outside the usual I'm involved in coming up. In terms of this movie, I'm hoping for a sequel, but it also kind of, they better bring in Poison Ivy, please.
Yeah. So there's Gotham City Sirens, supposedly. Is that a thing? Is that on IMDb? Does that have any?
I've heard that at least it was in like pre-production type stuff, like doing stuff for it. But with how this one went, I'm not sure that they're going to do it, or whether that'll be a sequel to this one, still starring Harley Quinn. So it's Harley Quinn 2.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. Again, as long as we get a Poison Ivy at some point, that'll be exciting.
I mean, we need to bring her into the universe in general, just because I think she's a great character. But I would say I would prefer to see her with Harley first.
Yeah. Like Bell is so good. The whole thing in the animated show is so good. So, it's a high bar, but I hope we see it. I think that will be our best chance maybe for a sequel to this film.
Yeah. I mean, they are. I think she's also in Suicide Squad 2, yes?
For sure, is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll at least see more Harley, coming up, and then they can use that to build more stuff. I mean, and, they've left themselves a couple of options,
I'm psyched for that. I hope they have, I don't know, someone said they ruined their credibility with moviegoers. I'm very psyched for James Gunn's Suicide Squad 2.
Yeah, no, they can. They definitely have the ability to redeem that. It's just with DC, all they've sure they've ruined credibility, but all that means for me is that I listen to reviews first before I choose to see a DC film or not.
Yeah, I see them all, so it doesn't affect me in any way, and I on some level like all of them. So
yeah, I mean the only one the only one I didn't see Shazam because it's more of a kid's movie. It's directed more
HBO. I mean, if it's just
I watched it on an airplane.
International but. Shazam's out on Netflix. So is a lot of the DC stuff, but not the Harley Quinn show. Okay.
Yeah, Netflix has nothing. Yeah.
I mean, it's all
at least in Australia
right now. You know?
I don't think it's out in Australia, so we can't get that. So all the DC stuff's on Netflix now, which is nice.
Okay. Well, thank you both for participating. Like I said, when I put up the gauging interest, I wasn't even sure if I would be able to get two people interested in seeing and talking about it. And I'm glad you both responded, and I enjoyed talking to you both about this. And I hope that more people would get a chance to see it, because I think it's very much worth seeing.
Mm-hmm. Definitely recommend.
I hope lots of people see it. Just so you can join the conversation as an educated viewer. Even if you're kind of like, I don't know. But if you're going to bag the movie, you need to at least see the movie. So you're not uneducated and a hypocrite.
I can't imagine seeing it and not at least liking it. I don't know. I mean, it's not a perfect movie. And
finding something to look at. Because at the very least, the costumes are super cool. So
Do you want, maybe I'll add this
go
back
watch
to
the costumes.
Do you want to talk about costumes or music or any other anything that we didn't?
Okay. So I knit, right? So, like, I don't know what it is, but I'm super into costumes at the moment, and the costumes were super fun. I really loved Harley Quinn's, like, tinsel jacket. Super cool. And did you realize she was wearing, like, the exact same weird crop shirt that's, like, attached to a pair of shorts for the whole movie? She just put on, like, a shirt over it and like a pair of shorts, but you can still see it's has the highlighter pink through her white shirt the whole time. So she was wearing the exact same outfit that whole time. It's just they layered it with different things, so it had a different effect. And I'm just like, you're probably grimy. Good job.
I did not notice that she was wearing that exact same, bra or top or whatever the whole time, but
I think she was still wearing that exact same outfit because it takes place in 24 hours. Even though she went home, she didn't get changed. She was just like, no, I'm good enough. I'm too lazy. Whoa. And like still had her same shoes on as well. No. Also, I really appreciated her shoes because she's wore like white wedge boots, right? Or cream wedge boots, but also doing all her stunt stuff. I'm just like, that's way more practical, especially with the wet floor scene and her stunt double does the kick thingy. And I'm just like, thank you for wearing those shoes because otherwise your ass would totally be on the floor right now. Not doubting you as a stunt woman, but that is dangerous. So like, good job.
I loved her shoes and the action. One thing about Watchmen, the movie, Silk Spectre has like high heels. And then she'll do an action scene, and she'll be wearing those kind of flat boots kind of thing. And then it'll be after the action scene, she'll just have high heels on again. And that always bugged me. Yeah. And it always bugged me.
I never noticed that.
Harley's boots are the same the whole way through.
But yeah, I mean, with costumes, like when you, you know, when you get a more female crew involved, like, you know, it's you get a mix of, you get a necessary mix of practicality. Along with the stylistic aspects that is very important.
I did dislike Huntress's final
Huntress's outfit with like the black trash bag jacket was ugly.
Yeah.
Everyone else's clothes were totally fly.
I agree. I was only I thought she looked good in like the final fight scenes and stuff. Like just like that black top, but she's got a couple misses. But she's like an awkward character, so I think it. I love that kind of shawarma scene at the end where they do the tacos and margaritas instead of the Avengers stuff. Where she's just awkwardly with everyone, but everyone else thinks she's super cool, but she's not aware of how cool she is. But
okay, I've heard other people say the soundtrack's super great, but I honestly can't remember it that much. Because I saw it like a week ago. So, yeah. But other people have said the soundtrack is good. So, like, you can check it out.
Yeah, go look it up. When she have time to do a shoe change?
Yeah, you know. She's carrying them with her the whole time if you watch
Lita.
But then she, like, bounces out for, like, 1 second and she's wearing them.
But, yeah, then the passing of the hair tie.
Yeah, that's cool.
And, that's great. Other minor things, the slow build and reveal of both the Canary Cry as well as Black Mask putting on the mask, you know, we're both well done.
Why are they in the trailer? I mean, if the marketing's, I don't want to talk about the marketing anymore. I think that shouldn't have been in the trailer though.
The Black Canary Cry.
Yeah, the Canary Cry. Yeah. I mean,
it should not have been. Because like you're building to that the whole movie and it, and it's just like.
I've already seen it. It's
like, trailer team, please keep secret. But I'm sorry. Black Mask's mask. I was just like, hey, it looks like a weird skull. And it's kind of also like Doctor Doom's mask a bit too. Doctor Doom. Yeah, like his face. Because it's not a mask, but I'm down with it.
Yeah, it marketing sucks. Movie's great. Go see it. Go see the animated show if you can.
Get a group of people to go see it. So, have some margaritas before you go and tacos. Or go after the movie and pretend you're part of the group.
All right, thank you both. I think that's it.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you, thank you.
All right.
It was lots of fun talking to you all about it.
Yeah, thank you both. I really enjoyed. I'm glad I had someone to talk about this with. And I, like I said, hopefully we get at least a couple people to go see it.
Hopefully. Yeah,
thank you for introducing me to the animated show, too.
Okay, cool. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah.
Would have sucked if you'd have bought it at the service and you didn't like it.
Oh, no, there were a bunch of clips on YouTube that I looked up first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, you did your research. Nice. Mm-hmm.
I always do. See you guys.
Goodbye. Bye. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
This is a man's world. This is a man's world. But it would be nothing. You see, man made the cars to take us over the road.
Just want to say that Suicide Squad has more Oscars than Endgame, if anyone cares.
please don't.
No, do it. Do it. I'm so happy with the Oscars that Parasite won, because I saw it in the middle effects, of the year when it was released here, and had the night I saw it was the night it won the Palme d'Or, and I was just like, it's so good. And I've been like, I really want to see it again. I really want to see it again. I really want to see it again. And it's finally gotten a re-release in Australia because it won the Oscars. So I'm just like, I'm going to go see it again. Yeah. Okay. That's my nerd moment.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you. But yes, go see it. It's fun. It's great. And I've seen like all of the cast in Korean dramas before because I watched them all, and I'm just like, wow. And the lady who plays the housekeeper, all of the Korean dramas I've been watching lately over, like, have had her in it. And I'm just like, this is nuts, bro. They aren't even all recent ones. But also, you're great, so it's fine. Okay, I'll be quiet now. Thanks.
Oh.
It's been a K-drama minute with Sarah.
I would love for you guys to do a K-drama to get me introduced on what I should like start watching, because it's a little overwhelming.
I have a list. Do you want me to send it to you?
Yeah, if you want to put
it
in.
If you have Netflix?
I do, yeah.
Watch Black. I'll talk to you later about it.
Am I muted or no?
Heard you.
I was muted. We can hear you. Hello.
But yeah, if you're speaking, we can't hear you now.
Oh. Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, it was so good too. All right. I will start over.